You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Derek here of Screen Heroes on the Heroes Podcast Network. Nominations are open for Best Local Podcast in Kansas City at thepitchkc.com/bestofkc19. Please consider going to the Arts and Entertainment section and voting for Screen Heroes as the Best Local Podcast of Kansas City in 2019. Nominations are open until July 8th, so please get your nomination in as soon as possible. Thank you for your consideration.
Dude, that's awesome. That
yeah, it's cool.
All right, so do we want to get this started then?
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, this is Challenge Mode.
Yeah.
A podcast.
We still don't have an intro for this show.
That's okay. This is me introducing it. This is a podcast where we get together and challenge each other to bring a topic to the table. Any topic. Generally, the people besides the speaker don't know what we're talking about, or if they do, it's not, you know, they don't have very much heads up. You guys found out what this was earlier today.
Yeah,
so
sure did.
The idea is one of us has research, the rest of us are listening, or, you know, seeing what's up.
Yeah.
This is Cam Konek and Jimmy Hart react to.
I'm pretty sure we can't use that. I don't think the Fine Bros are going to come after us now. Like,
oh, wait.
YouTube's going to.
I think we're fucked.
Oh, man.
Great.
I think we'll just resign.
Yeah. Sorry, Derek. Show's over.
All right. Well,
bye.
Challenge denied.
Yeah. We failed.
The topic today, I'm going to talk about custom creations in video games. That means a whole lot of things. What it won't mean this episode is custom creations like, Skyrim. Character custom creation like that.
Like mods and stuff?
Yeah, even just like, you could start up Skyrim and spend a lot of time making a special character. There are games where it's like, Soul Calibur. I'm going to custom make this character who looks like Waluigi. That is not what we're talking about today.
We could talk about that.
I'm not going to say I haven't.
We are also not talking about building like custom racetracks and stuff across a bunch of different games.
I made a custom racetrack in Little Big Planet Racing.
Did you really?
That looked like Waluigi.
Wow. Damn.
Man, that you're
hitting
like,
you
all
fucking
the spots.
Cornered, dude.
Yeah, dude, this is good. Here, you can take the episode. No, but what we will be talking about is there's a lot of stuff in Minecraft. We've all heard people making cool stuff in Minecraft. But you know, you think you've heard limitations until you see another link and you're like, are people still making stuff in here? The answer is yes. I jumped on Minecraft recently. Well, recently, this was like a year ago, but they did a bunch of updates. They added game modes and all sorts of stuff. Of course, I always played on the Xbox and PlayStation, so they always lag behind the PC. So anytime there was an update, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And people are like, oh, we've had this for like 4 years.
20 years.
But what happens is people have modded the game in such a way that people jump on these private servers. They're like, wow, these mods are amazing. And the company, the developer of the real game, turns around and says, oh, maybe we should add this to the actual game. So let's start with Minecraft. That's the easiest one. The first time that I heard someone made a calculator in Minecraft, I didn't understand. I mean, I still don't understand. But
same, yeah.
I thought that I was misunderstanding what the headline of this article was saying, because how could you create a Minecraft calculator using blocks? You know, all I ever do is chop a tree and make like a 6x6 house made of wood.
Yeah.
A big
dirt,
wolf comes over,
lazy.
The whole thing gets blown down.
Well, see, the key to that is actually not even using wood. It's just like, just punch a hole in a hill and then you're set.
Yeah.
That's your house.
That is a good house.
You could use stone.
That's true.
That'll work too.
A little bougie over there.
A little advanced for me.
Wolves out.
But I like the idea.
Well, you could also make Waluigi in Minecraft.
You could. So there are a lot of different things that people have made. So besides calculators, the simple things are like you jump on Minecraft and you're like, I want to build something. I want to build something that looks cool. So I have seen videos from here. Someone made the globe. They made Earth you know, giant sphere and they zoom out super, super far. You know, you always start like zoomed in on one or two blocks. And then as it zooms out, you finally get a picture of what you're actually looking at. And, you know, people will use scales where one block is one pixel and they'll make like a high definition, practically a photo of someone or mm-hmm. the earth. Or
I remember recreating like movie landscapes and locations. And I think Starship Enterprise was a big one, but somebody mm-hmm. made, I don't remember if it was like 1-to-1 size, but like they made fucking Helm's Deep from the Lord of the Rings movies. And I'm like, yo, Jesus.
It was
like
very close to scale, but I know it wasn't 1-for-1.
That's still fucking insane.
So crazy.
Like that's, it's really neat to see that it doesn't really matter kind of what you give people. They're just going, like, there's always going to be these certain types of people that just run with it as far as possible. And it's really fascinating to see.
So
I am not one of those people.
Me neither. I will spectate and clap.
Right.
But to make them. So this one says Minas Tirith from Lord of the Rings, right? This was one of the earlier Minecraft builds. And this was made by just one person, which is sometimes unique to these big projects. And this was made, this article says it was made in an impressive 22 hours and 20 minutes.
Jesus.
And
seriously?
That is impressive because that seems low for me.
That,
I thought it was going to be
like
100
that
hours.
That seems like it would be something that would take like months.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, before I tell it that, this says that it took around 6 million blocks to craft. I mean, even if you're holding the button down, like, that's effectively 6 million button
it's
presses.
Like you break a mouse. Like,
yeah.
You're just eventually just sitting there and just, like, your finger just goes through it. Like, fuck, man, that's so much.
It's
so
a lot. That is dedication holds.
Seriously.
So crazy. Because, I mean, you definitely, I think you're onto it right there. I mean, some people will take that and run with it. And Thomas, to your point, I mean, create something that looks really cool or is, you know, a 1-for-1 recreation of the Enterprise. And then some people will take that and run with, I think I can make a functioning calculator. Like, what?
Right.
How does that come into an idea that
right,
this could work?
That's
here?
The thing that always yeah. kind of interested me. Like, sure, I'm like, obviously there is a way to kind of execute on that, but who... I'm just really interested to know, like, the thought process behind you look at, like, Minecraft or something like Little Big Planet or like Mario Maker, even. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, yeah, I'm gonna make a calculator. Like, that's cool as shit, but that seems so weird to me.
But it's also, I mean, is that not the same idea in which some sort of smart device comes out and somebody has to put Doom on it?
Oh, totally. It's the exact same thing, for sure.
Yep.
Put Doom in Minecraft. If it's not already there, it's probably fucking there.
I'm absolutely
sure that's in there. So some of the other ones. So let me tell you some of the just pretty ones.
Okay.
Before we dive into the other stuff. So some of the more popular ones are King's Landing. So these are ones that are not interactive, right? So this is just, hey, look at this pretty castle kind of thing. So this King's Landing one, this says it was crafted by 175 different creators over 2.5 years. And when you look at this thing, you can see why it took that much time and effort. I mean, the attention to detail is absolutely nuts. It's totally insane. And just the fact that enough people cared about this to not only put in the time and effort and attention to detail, but they also trusted each other to pick up where they left off. I mean, 175 people. Can you name 175 people who you would trust with any one task?
I can barely name maybe 10, to be honest.
That's
like,
a really
it's just hard. Like, that, the amount of planning and, like, straight up project management that went into something like that is probably just absolutely fucking insane. If that person isn't, like, a career project manager, they need to be.
That's how you get a job. Seriously.
100%.
You catch the right person's attention and say, I organized this. I managed 175 people. Hire me.
Yeah.
And there's someone out there who will see that and say, you're absolutely hired. You know, a lot of mods with different games, that actually is how you get hired. You know, just like you hack into a cybersecurity system. You hack into a website and a cybersecurity firm will hire you because they're like, oh, you can break it? All right, now we want you to make it. Mm-hmm. You know,
that reminds me of the person that custom made a whole Skyrim expansion as a mod and then went to go work with Bethesda to make that. which is cool.
That's so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. It's really neat that it's just something that I never really thought about until recently, but it totally makes a lot of sense that, like, straight up, if you are developing mods, that is still very much game development. Like, mm-hmm. you are still, like, releasing builds and, like, compiling all this stuff and putting all that together. You're doing maybe not one-to-one the same work as somebody building the game from scratch, but you're doing a lot of that same stuff, and that's really valuable if that's something you're wanting to do as a career or even just, like, as a hobby. Or maybe
you're also, like, going through the motions that you would, like, business-wise of releasing a product.
Right, right.
Right, of, like, you put in the effort. You debug it. You give it to somebody to say, hey, does this thing work on your end? And then you put it out. And then after you put it out, you're either reacting to it or playing PR or whatever. Because people put these their names on them, even if they're, you know, like an avatar name. It really is like putting out a real product.
Totally.
And of course,
it is a real product. You know, it's just like kind of on the back of this other kind of established thing, which I think that's really cool. I think people don't really kind of give as much credit to people who make mods, at least in like the grander scheme of things. People just think of game developers as just core game developers, but a lot of this stuff is just as important.
Yeah, I mean, you have a toolkit that you're working with, and you create something unique with
it. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I made the analogy earlier. It's like cooking, where, you know, I'll make a grilled cheese, but with like the same ingredients, you're going to make some cuisine. You know, some gourmet, even if it's gourmet grilled cheese, or maybe something totally different. But the fact that we can work within the same kitchen with the same ingredients and come up with wildly different products, that's so fascinating to me, especially if you're just doing it for fun. You know, you're not getting paid to do that. You're not a chef. In this example, I made the joke online is like, you know, people say the tools don't make the carpenter. Well, in this case, it's like the tools don't make the game developer. But when you have the kinds of tools that we've got, anybody can be a game developer.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, it's like self-teaching yourself how to code. I mean, there are Minecraft coding like summer camps that we've had locally that I've seen like marketed online that are for kids trying to learn to code. You use Minecraft. You already play Minecraft. And now you know how to code. Like, now
isn't there
know.
Also just like a straight up like education build for Minecraft that they just like kind of give to schools? Or at least it's cheaper, I would imagine. But indoors, I know there's like an education build that you can like employ in a classroom, and there's like curriculums built around that. Because yeah, like straight up, it's very practical, like spatial, like building something knowledge, and it just happens to be on a game with fucking explosive things.
Right. Speaking of explosive things, so to move on.
I did not expect that segue to happen. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm really interested to know where this is going.
Well, bear with me for a second, because let me knock these off the list. Some of the other cool ones I saw online, somebody made BioShock. I saw
fucking
the...
Really?
Yeah. Cool. Or it made Rapture. It was cool.
Just
Rapture. I was like, the entirety of BioShock. Oh, I'm like, fuck yeah, all right.
But no, I mean, just made a super cool environment of Rapture.
I think the islands from BioShock Infinite would be pretty sweet.
Oh, just like
that
all of Columbia?
Sweet.
That'd be fucking rad.
There was the Starship Enterprise, of course. Somebody made the Death Star. I mean, you name it, somebody's made it.
I saw one just actually about a month ago that was the Hyrule Castle from Breath of the Wild.
That's cool.
Which
that's
was pretty cool. And I tried to find that seed to download and play, but I couldn't.
Yeah.
That's really interesting to me. I guess, so a lot of these circles that I ran in, Minecraft never kind of really like grabbed like the groups that I was in as much. But all of the stuff that I was always seeing was people just doing like these big like pixel arts. And I like kind of figured that people were doing like these like incredible recreations. But the only one I ever really heard about was like the Starship Enterprise, because I think that was the first big one, because that was a 1-to-1 scale. And that made like, I think that was on like headline news or something like that, that like blew the fuck up and like touched the mainstream. But it's really fascinating to me that there's so much depth in what people are making with all of these things that you can totally feel like you're in touch with like a lot of these people that are making things in these environments, but really you're just kind of scratching the surface. Like, I was like, okay, cool. You can do some really cool like Pikachu pixel art in this. Oh, but then these people are over here building actual computers.
That's what blew my mind. I think the first time I heard that someone's like, yeah, this is like a 32-bit processor.
Yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
St-
stop.
So cool. So this, so to talk about the computer stuff, this one is this is a working computer with a whole interesting video, but all the videos are super long because there's so much to show off.
Can that computer run Doom?
I mean, probably.
Okay. I mean, that's the true test.
This was built by Lego Master 99.
Oh, yes.
The legend himself.
He wasn't kidding around.
Hell yeah.
This computer has 28 kilobytes of total memory. And I think I'm saying that right. And 31 bytes of dual read RAM. I don't even know what that means, but 31 bytes isn't nothing. How do you make RAM in Minecraft?
Like, yeah, no, like straight up. That's, I think, probably the most impressive part about
this. It's insane. Like, and the only reason I can take any of this seriously is because news outlets that I trust have taken it seriously. And that's the only reason I can be like, okay, this is actually impressive, because otherwise I'd be like, oh, you're lying to me. You're making this up, because how could that work? I don't know anything about computers or Minecraft, but you're lying.
Right.
You know, so to see this stuff is just wild. So on the working computer one, you can actually run like mini programs. Like he played Pong on it and some
that's
other stuff.
Rad. That is so fucking cool.
Somebody made a quote unquote working iPhone 7. It had a lot of cool functionality, but most of the buttons didn't work. But it has a touch screen, right? Because you ram your body into the front and react. So like,
I was really hoping that was going to be what it was.
So you just
slam into it.
It's a humongous phone, so you have to try to turn it on by ramming into the power button. And then it's like, oh, the battery's dead. So you have to go down here and press a button to plug in the charger.
Screen
comes on. It says it's charging. So you press the power button again.
Wait about
an
hour. And then
you
eventually just like slam into the power button, but for like maybe a couple seconds.
Right.
It kind of comes on.
And it's like, oh,
2%. Yeah. It's like, oh, well,
you have to make sure to turn low battery power on.
Right.
Classic. The phone comes on and it says enter passcode. And you straight up. You know, you enter the default one, which is like 0000, but you can, like, the phone comes on and it's got like a background on it, and it's got obviously Safari, which is just an icon. You can't open a browser. But that'd be not wild, right? But honestly, anything feels possible when I watch these videos. But it has a bunch of stuff. So it goes into settings and you can change your passcode, and you know, all the numbers come up on the screen and you ram into them. And so he like restarted the phone and the new passcode worked, and he like checked the Minecraft weather, which how that even works, I don't understand.
Can't you just look up? I mean, what they're doing is cool, but
look,
just look up.
I can like lick my finger and tell you which way the wind's blowing.
Right. Just look up. It's fine.
So
it's either raining or it isn't.
Right.
That's basically Minecraft.
Are there clouds? Nope.
Great.
All right. Write that down.
Yep.
So that was super cool. Most of the functionality in the phone is funny because he's like, this app doesn't work. This one isn't working either. And you got to watch it. And with the Great Assault, you're like, you know, it makes sense that there are bugs to this thing.
No, totally.
This is a computer
like,
inside
I'm obviously giving them shit, but that's really cool. And
well,
the fact that even like a little bit of that is even working is really impressive.
It's crazy. So like there's one, which one is it? There was one. So there's a lot of computer stuff, calculator stuff. If you're interested in that, you should go watch some of those videos, because I definitely cannot explain how it works. Absolutely not. I know there's redstone in the game, which allows you to make circuits and electricity and stuff. But beyond that, it is rocket science to me. So to move past that, the next one is interactive environments. So somebody made this Sonic the Hedgehog level that it looks straight up like it has the art style, like the greens and the browns all look like actual Sonic, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog 2.
Sonic's blue. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, geez, I messed up.
Yeah. Continue.
this is where those explosions come in. So you have like a potion of speed, so your guy runs super fast, and there's this racetrack they made with like jumps and bounces and stuff.
What game is this?
This is Minecraft.
Oh, still?
Yeah, this is still
shit.
Minecraft.
Damn. That's awesome. I thought you moved on to a different game.
No.
Fuck yeah.
No,
all right.
There's still more.
Hell yeah.
So they have like a jump pad, which I don't know how they made that, but seems fairly simple. But then they had like a big jump pad, and I did not understand how that worked, but it shows you, it goes back and shows you like a different camera view. And so they made the character invulnerable, and then it was this block that just exploded, and gave you like a super jump.
Fuck yeah.
Dude, it was super cool.
I'm really into that.
And there are like checkpoints and stuff. It was so cool. So you really have this track that you can run along that if you fall off, it puts you back at a checkpoint and stuff.
That's pretty awesome.
There were a few like that. Another interactive. Well, actually, this one wasn't interactive, but somebody made the first level of Super Mario Brothers in the game. So they made a giant Game Boy, a humongous Game Boy with the buttons and the power light and everything. And they basically hit a switch that turned on like a pre-recorded version of Mario. It straight up looks like pixel to pixel. It looks like Mario. And it actually plays like a real person plays, where he misses some of the blocks and has to go back for them and
really
stuff.
That's really cool.
It is so cool, and I don't know how much time went into it, but you see the front of it, and I think that's the one I'm thinking of. He peeks around the backside of the Game Boy. Dude, that's like looking into the eyes of madness. Because like the front is so pristine and clean, and the backside is just an ocean of blocks that look like stream, like tentacles almost, because they've got to connect in all these different places, and it is wild how somebody made that. I mean, the level lasts like, I don't know, a minute.
Wow.
So,
seriously,
yeah, when someone, like when they make the calculator and it's like, oh, they pressed a button that said 9 on it and a giant number 9 appeared in the blocks, like that's cool. But to see this, like a moving picture of Mario on the screen. It's
crazy.
I need
you to keep doing that voice for the rest of the podcast.
I wish I could. I don't have the stamina.
Okay, great.
I think you do.
You're fired. I'll practice
so,
off mic and I'll
you're
come.
You're fired.
Next challenge
so,
mode. Jimmy,
your
challenge mode?
There is no next challenge mode.
Oh, no.
So
yeah, remember, this is the last one.
Oh,
yeah,
heck.
Because the beginning. Yeah,
well,
we missed it all.
I'm going to build my own podcast in Minecraft and you guys aren't invited.
We walked right into that one.
You know, so a bunch of cool stuff like that, right?
So there's a lot of, I mean, I know we're talking about Minecraft, but there's a lot of games in games, right?
There are.
So I hope you're going to talk about that.
I will.
Good.
I will. I just got to get through Minecraft.
Good.
And
good.
I think I'm mostly through it. I'll have to check that that's all I have.
Wow, he's almost beat Minecraft.
I'm
really impressed by that.
So that stuff's pretty cool. Is that all I have? I think it's all I have.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah.
That's Minecraft. That's all Minecraft.
Oh, okay.
So let's shift gears here. Let's go to the nearest thing. So Little Big Planet. Little Big Planet is a game where you can create just about anything similar to Minecraft, except instead of blocks, you've just got like a 2D side scroller looking thing and a bunch of tools.
Shout out to my boy Sackboy.
2.5D.
Sackboy.
Yep.
Yeah.
Somebody made a calculator in Little Big Planet as well. It's pretty simplistic, but like, you know, it works. And then it shows you the behind the scenes of what is actually going on in the background. Because I know Little Big Planet even less than I know Minecraft. At least I've spent plenty of hours on Minecraft, but I don't know the advanced stuff. Little Big Planet, I've only played like 2 hours of, never messed with the custom creator. And so when I watched this calculator work, I was like, okay, like I know this is cool, but I mean, I've heard about calculators for like a decade now, you know, in games.
just in general.
In general.
Yeah.
but I was like, I don't really know what I'm looking at. So it shows you behind the scenes, and there are all these strings that are attached to all these like turns and, you know, bells and whistles. And
he's got the voice again.
Yeah.
Bring it back. You could do it.
And it's insane. There are strings connected to knobs, connected to strings, connected to knobs, and the camera keeps panning up and you just see more and more and more tool, like parts of this, you know, this tool, this I wanted to say clock because it looks like a clock, but this calculator, because you can add, subtract, I think you can multiply and divide. The calculator in Minecraft, there was a scientific calculator that did some cool stuff, but somebody made a graphing calculator. That's insane.
Fuck.
And so at the end, he actually showed the graph, but you can do, you know, your basic scientific functions, but you could also do cosine, like you could do trigonometry and all this stuff. Like, I'm like, man, this calculator is smarter
Minecraft?
Than me.
Still Minecraft?
That was still Minecraft.
So, I mean, you buy Minecraft for
what, $30?
I was about to say, those calculators are still like $90 fucking dollars.
So why not just buy Minecraft?
Just install Minecraft on your school computer.
Right.
Pull it out during a math class.
Education edition, which might be free.
Right. Mm. That's right. And then whenever your teacher kicks you out of your classroom, tell them you were just pulling up your graphing calculator.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're like, look, I'm trying to be economical here.
Yeah.
And she's like, you bought a whole computer for this.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, look, I did. I don't know math. That's why I bought this thing.
Why do you think I'm in this class?
So that's at school. So somebody made a calculator in Little Big Planet 2 or 3. Mario Maker 2 just recently came out, which you can build crazy stuff in.
I'm playing a lot of that.
Someone made Mario Maker 2 in Little Big Planet 3.
Which is fucking wild. That's crazy. I love that. I saw the headline come across. I didn't get a chance to read the article, but fuck yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And that turnaround is pretty quick, too.
They had to have been working on this for a while.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure.
I mean, so they probably were making Mario Maker and then saw the features of Mario Maker 2. And like, oh, I guess
yeah, they're probably just like, hey, right, we're making Mario Maker, but then this Direct's coming out this week, you know, mm-hmm, and then, oh, the sun's here. Okay, we'll just put the sun in here.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Yep. Just done.
So that stuff's wild.
Do you guys know when, I don't remember, when Little Big Planet 3 came out? That's still PS4, correct?
That's a PS4 game, yes.
So, which is crazy in itself, yeah, too. I mean, that was
a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Mm-hmm.
That was, I mean, I only played it for the first time, like, maybe 3 years ago, and it had been out for a while.
Yeah,
like
I have Little Big Planet 3, but I have not fired it up. The only one that I've actually really spent any time with was, I think, the second one. And I played it for like 2 hours because I did not have internet at my apartment at the time and it was installed. And so I played it for 2 hours and then went to sleep and I woke up and I had internet and I never played it again.
Oh.
Not that I'm dissing that game, even though it very much sounds like I am. It's just those games aren't really kind of my things.
I played a lot of the first one. It was fun.
Yeah, I love it. Same thing with Mario Maker, which I'm sure we're going to get into, but I always love playing things that other people make.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why I get into a lot of these types of games. I don't really care so much about making the levels.
Well, I tell you what, let's dive into that after a break.
Hey. Up your fucking mic.
Sorry. All right, we're back.
Yeah.
Let's wonderful talk about things that other people have made that we can play.
Like a video game.
Like
is this some
game
sort of video game podcast?
It is the video game.
So it's where we make a thing, where we talk about people that make things.
I need you to leave.
This is
you're not welcome in my apartment anymore. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm walking into the void.
Yeah, you fucking
won't be here for that much longer.
Anyway, Thomas, go ahead.
So there is Super Mario Maker 2, which just came out.
Yeah.
The sequel to Super Mario Maker, which was the first time that Nintendo had come out, to my knowledge, come out with a here's a tool set, do whatever you want kind of game.
No. Mario Paint.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. That's mm-hmm. That's where people made music, right? Or is that a separate game?
And art.
Yeah. Mario Paint Composer is pretty rad.
Mm-hmm. It's actually a mode within Mario Paint where you make music.
Yeah,
that's
pretty cool.
Yeah.
The Undo Dog and the Eraser from Mario Paint are actually characters in Mario Maker 2. The Eraser is totally a fucking criminal. Like, I'm like, fuck, this is not... He straight up says two blocks that he's erasing, this is going to hurt me a lot more than you. And it's kind of fucked up. And the dog the reason for the entire story mode existing, because he steps on a button and erases all of Peach's fucking castle.
Lol.
And then you just have to rebuild it.
The little brother of our lives.
And then he gives you jobs to do. Like, you're not busy enough.
Right.
But he's a good boy. So he's a good boy.
Oh, right.
You know.
So in Mario Maker 2, we were discussing off the mic that we would like to have an opportunity where people send in, you know, their codes or whatever, their levels, to play, because you and I, Cam, it sounds like neither of us actually want to make anything. I certainly don't.
Yeah, I strongly doubt I might make a level, but I don't really see myself getting very into that.
Yeah. I'm much more interested in just seeing what people have come up with.
Same here. Yeah.
Because there's just so much. I mean, you're only limited by your dedication and your creativity. You know, the new Mario Maker has a bunch of challenges on it. So it's like, hey, here's a level we made. And also here's an extra way that you can play this level. So like the one I mentioned before was, here's this level. You know, it would be fun on its own, but the challenge is don't fall at all, which means you can't jump.
Don't leave the ground.
Yeah, leave the ground. So
it's not like it's an optional challenge either. Like, that's straight up, like, you have to do that or you do not beat this level.
Yeah.
Like, they are hard, like, clear conditions, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, and it gives you an opportunity to play in a different way, not just like, hey, get to the end. It's like, hey, I'm going to throw this curveball at you. It's going to change the way you think about this game that you've played. And now that you know that, turn around and create something equally curveball. And I like that. It's in Super Mario Maker 2. Nintendo has made a bunch of demo levels that say, hey, here's what you're working with. You know, we're going to plant the seed here. Now we're going to see how you make it grow. Mm-hmm. So that's remarkable. I like seeing Nintendo really help offer creative outlet or offer, what's it called? Inspiration for these levels. Because, like, for me, I'd have trouble coming up with an idea out of thin air. But to see that stuff in front of me, I'd be like, okay, you know. That makes me think, I wonder if I can do such and such. And with how extensive the tools are, you can probably do whatever you're thinking of.
Yeah, totally. I really like that a lot of that stuff is there. And even as somebody who's probably realistically not going to make maybe more than 3 levels lifetime, I keep increasing my number as I go on. I keep noticing that.
I like it.
Yeah, well, maybe I'll make 1. I'm like giving myself room to like be wrong.
Well, I mean,
well, I can make like 5.
Yeah, yeah, you know, 20 levels here and there.
Yeah.
But just even from like a player's perspective, I think knowing, hey, this is a cool thing you can do with this tool set, and like kind of leaning into that is a really neat thing. And a lot of the levels that I'm seeing right now, because this game came out like Friday. So as of this recording, which is we're recording on the 2nd of July, it was like the Friday before that. So not very long. Today's Tuesday. And so like a lot of the levels that you're seeing are pretty similar to the same stuff that you would see in Mario Maker 1, which is kind of to be expected. A lot of the big makers are bringing that same kind of tool set mentality over. There's some neat stuff with like the on-off switches that you can do. I've been playing a lot of like these speedrun classified levels, which are all about like, do not quit moving, jump at like kind of the right rhythm. Like, they've also kind of implemented that with some music ones. Like, one that I've seen blowing up a lot on Twitter or wherever you consume your Mario Maker content, Gourmet Race, the Kirby song. Mm. You know, that you have no doubt
no,
heard
sing it.
It
for us.
No,
he was really about to.
I saw it.
No, but. In Mario Maker 1, there was a lot of, you can like place enemies to like bounce into blocks that do certain pitches to where you can like make music happen. And there's still a lot of that here too. But now they're like incorporating a more interactive element to where you do not progress through this unless you jump and hit the on-off switch at the exact right rhythm, because then the platform under you just completely disappears and you die.
Hmm.
So you have to like be actively engaged in checking out this cool piece of art and like this music that they're making with this game systems, which is really cool.
It's pretty cool.
So that's like Crypt of the Necrodancer, but in Mario.
Yeah. And if you die, you start over. So yeah, oh,
there you
kind
go.
Of.
All right.
Which is really funny because that's what my thoughts on your, I mean, the whole idea for this podcast today is people creating things, and they just created Crypt of the Necrodancer Zelda.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an interview with one of the Kotaku editors with the creator of Zelda, Onuma. And he was asking him, you know, hey, why didn't you... They were talking about like Link's Awakening and Breath of the Wild, the DLC, and Breath of the Wild 2, and why they were just... Why didn't they just make this into DLC? And he's like, well, we had a lot of ideas that we couldn't fit into DLC, so we made a whole new game. And the editor at Kotaku asked him, hey, well, I mean, if people really like Mario Maker 2, why don't you... Or the dungeon creator that's in Link's Awakening, would you guys make Zelda Maker? and see. Of course, you guys already know that would be all my jam. I would be so into playing something.
We would
like that.
Never see you again.
I might never come out of my house,
even with a portable system.
We
want
to hang out with Jimmy. Yeah. We got to go to his house. He's not going to make eye contact.
He's going to be locked in his a closet, dungeon. Just
locked in dungeon, making dungeons.
Yep,
That's all I would talk about.
But I just dungeon of your own creation.
Really interesting. But I had a thought during that thought process that, you know, even there are games that have turned into mods from game modes, or making game modes out of mods that turn into games. Those are pretty insane just ideas in itself. One of the things I thought of was even mini games within Rocket League, or mini games within games like, I know this happened way before Black Ops, but it's the first one that popped into my head. But Black Ops has that one mode where you play, I think it was more Counter-Strike, but you play as a household plant.
And you change. Prop Hunt.
Yes.
Prop Hunt rules.
Yeah.
But that's a whole mode that was created in a game via mod. And that's a lot more fun than the original game. There's so many games
Talk about how prevalent Garry's Mod is.
Right.
Right? I mean, Garry's Mod that influenced so much that we have now, especially during, the mid to late 90s, I want to say. I forget that Garry's Mod was a mod. I mean, I actually forget that was just...
Well, it did eventually become its own... I own Garry's Mod in my Steam library, mm-hmm. for sure.
But the idea that was just, a creation.
Right.
Isn't it, debug, for Half-Life or something like that?
Pretty much.
Mode that you just play around with all of the physics and...
Yeah, I think it was for Counter-Strike.
Well, it's for Source Engine, period. The first... Yeah. Yeah, right. The, first... five games that I got in my Steam library were Half-Life 2, Team Fortress 2, and Garry's Mod, and those were three of the five. Mm-hmm. I think the other two, for the sake of this discussion, do not matter. But it's really cool to see a mod kind of blow up that big.
So there was Warcraft 3, right? Warcraft 3, that was the first time I ever heard of mods, proper mods that you could actually do that were allowed by the developer. You know, there's a difference between I just logged into Diablo 2 and this guy had all white armor and one hit me in the place where you're not supposed to be able to be attacked. There's that, which is hacking. And then there's going into Warcraft 3 and the developer saying, hey, this is the custom game list. You can make whatever you want, enter at your own risk. And you've got some stuff you can play tic-tac-toe using the ghouls from the game, or, of course, that's how Defense of the Ancients, was created.
Yeah, Dota was totally a mod.
So, in RTSs, right, you've got the map where you do everything, and then in the bottom right, or wherever, you have the mini-map, right? Usually the shape of a diamond, and it just gives you a bigger picture of what the map looks like outside of what you're zoomed in on. Well, one of the most memorable custom games I ever had, I jumped into it, and you couldn't tell what you were looking at. I mean, it wasn't a game. You were looking at just pixels and colors, and nothing made any sense. And the camera would keep moving constantly. So there were eight of us, and they're just being like, what is happening? Is this even a game? I've played some weird custom games, but I have no idea what I'm looking at. And finally, someone said, look at the minimap. Do 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 do. We're no strangers to love. It was a Rick Roll. It was the best Rick Roll I've ever seen. And the camera kept moving. And so anytime you tried to open the menu, if the camera moved, it exited out. And you almost couldn't possibly exit because the camera was designed to move so quickly.
That's rad.
So everyone had to alt F4 out of there.
Fuck yeah.
And I was like, man, well played. Yeah. Well played.
That's obviously amazing. The time of the Rickroll has come and gone, but there's still I have this utmost respect for people who just take it to the nth degree. It's good.
Yeah,
real good.
I was absolutely blindsided by it. I mean, to say that I didn't see it coming.
Fucking awesome.
I didn't even know that it was possible to create something like that. And we all discovered it together.
At the same time.
And you just see everybody's like, we can't get out. We can't get out. Guys, we have to alt F4.
I don't even know what, I'm trying to think about what my first kind of exposure to a mod is. And I have absolutely no idea.
I'm trying to think, and I want to say I remember playing like Age of Empires 2, and I had a mod that changed all the textures and they had maps for Lord of the Rings.
Hmm.
So it's like Age of Empires 2.
Fucking nerd.
And that was like 2000. Like that was
yeah, that checks out. Yeah.
But then, like, not even 4 years later, they brought out the RTS for Lord of the Rings,
right.
Battle
yeah,
of Middle
yeah.
Earth.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
I've, God.
Okay.
Dude, I was at a LAN party with a bunch of my friends in high school, and we didn't pirate the game, but we used the same key, like CD key, for like four different computers, or so I thought. And we go in there, and all of us have kind of played games like this before, except my one friend Daniel. And Daniel is like skeptical to jump into any of these games because he knows he's just going to get the crap eaten out of him and he's never going to play again. Well, we're playing, we're on teams, so it's fine, we're taking it easy. And all of a sudden, at exactly 15 minutes in, everything in his whole game explodes and it says, defeated. And he throws up his hands. He's just like, I didn't do anything. And so we felt so bad for him because we were like, this would only happen to you. And what it was the game recognizing only on his computer that he had used a duplicate CD key.
Oh, it was the copy protection?
Yep.
That's
so
awesome.
So
that's
that, you know, you played for 15 full minutes before it killed you.
That's cool.
But that was an example of us trying to like custom, you know, run our thing. And the game being like, nope, not okay. Can't do this.
I want to do a challenge mode on copy protection because there's some really cool stuff out there. I think that's going to be the next one I bring to the table. But,
that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I think my first exposure to modded content actually is like way later than that. And I think it might have been like the Elder Scrolls series, but like Morrowind-ish, maybe after that. Just because I'm like, oh, well, a game is a game. And because I was primarily a console player. Like I that was back during the time where I thought of computer games as different from video games, which no, you know.
Right.
But I mean also like the most video game ass game that I played on PC up to that point was like Dungeon Keeper.
Ooh.
Which I loved the shit out of that game. But like other than that, it was like Freddy Fish and Putt-Putt, which those games objectively fucking rule.
Which is still play now,
but I mean I have all of them in my Steam library, don't get me wrong.
Yeah,
but like it was like that or like Flash games, like a lot of Flash games. But like mods were never really something that I was kind of aware of until like not even Morrowind, but like Oblivion. Like I played Oblivion on my Xbox 360 and then I would just like kind of look up some stuff online and I'd be like, oh, this person is Zelda's not in this game. Link is not in this game. Mario is definitely not in this game. Like, just seeing weird shit like that, I'm like, what the fuck is happening? Is this even legal? Like, are people allowed to do this?
Right.
I guess I do remember, this may have been maybe middle school even, but trying to download, like, ROMs, right? I'd take, like, a 3.5-inch floppy to school.
Ooh.
And, like, use a school computer to
Ooh,
download
shit.
ROMs.
Oh.
It's the perfect crime.
And, yeah, play them. But
totally
like,
untraceable.
Certainly, like, finding out that, hey, this version of Super Mario Brothers 3, this isn't Mario. This is a sprite of Mega Man or something like weird like that. Like, what do I do? What is this? Or like playing a version of Castlevania that has different characters in it. And
it's,
even like
you can say if it's Sonic the Hedgehog, like this is a welcoming.
Well, there's actually
okay,
like,
great. Cool.
Sonic the Hedgehog on NES. And then you plug it in and it's like, OK, so this is definitely level one of one of Mario. But your character kind of looks like some weird deformed Hamburglar Sonic. Like, right. I don't really know what I'm looking at. Is this a Big Mac? Or is
really
this
what was the
oh, and the music was awful.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sure
it
was.
They tried to make it Sonic,
oh,
and it was...
God. I mean, I'm gonna probably make people mad. I don't really like Sonic music that much. I don't think it's that great. But, I mean, you guys are giving me looks.
Yeah, well...
All right, well...
You know,
that's an unpopular opinion.
Anyway, I'm sure it sounds awful on an NES.
Yeah,
no doubt.
It's really bad there. I'll agree with that.
Speaking of like, that kind of, you know, something like custom-made with different sprites, I guess, Project M for... Or not Project M, that's... No,
that's
am
Smash.
I saying that right?
Yeah,
for
the,
Smash.
The Smash one.
Where they were like, yeah, so Smash is cool, but, like, what if we just gave them different abilities with different, like... numbers and stuff.
Yeah, so Brawl totally fucking sucks. So let's just make it more like Melee.
Yeah, and that's what
totally
happened.
What it is. Yeah,
and a lot of people played it. I mean, a lot of people still play it competitively. Like, no kidding. And at real tournaments, like actual, you know, tournaments with clout.
It was awesome because you could have so many different custom costumes, and you could play Mr. L. Luigi.
Yeah, what? No, like the custom costumes in Project M are fucking awesome. Yeah.
So that's super cool.
Like Sleepy Time.
Yeah, I'm looking something up about Project M.
You know, so would you count? So one thing that popped in my head too was Celeste. In Celeste, you have the like the computers, right? Mm-hmm. That you find, and you then play Celeste while you're playing Celeste,
right?
But it's yeah, different like Celeste.
It is. It's similar, but you're like, oh, I can immediately double jump in this. This is great.
Mm-hmm.
And then you unlock the triple jump, and you're like, this is magical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the fact that it's just like, hey. Well, this is how I assume it went down. He's like, hey, I just had some fun. Like, yeah, I was making the game. And then my off time, I made this goofy side game that's like basically the prototype of it. But it's clever enough that I don't know if that prototype came before Celeste or after it or during it.
Right. Like, it could have been the
ideas game.
In which they're like, hey, this could be fun in the game, but it doesn't work. So let's make it in this.
Mm-hmm. And it's all, I mean, it's like, would you say that that's 8-bit? I mean, it is super low res.
Low res, but I don't remember how many colors are in it.
Not true 8-bit, but yeah, just super low res.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's cool because like that's an example of if you have an idea at this point, you can create just about anything and make
also,
it good.
Please do. Like, yeah. Don't worry about if it's good. Just do it because it's going to be good. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. If you're making something that you like, that's ultimately just what matters.
There will absolutely be somebody else
sure.
that absolutely likes
right.
it.
I found the thing I was looking up.
Wonderful.
To go back to what we said earlier.
Let's
I just think it's really cool. I read this somewhere, and it's nice to confirm it. One of the developers on Project M is the guy who made Doki Doki Literature Club.
Oh.
Which is fucking wild.
That's awesome.
Have you played that?
No, I have not.
Play it.
All right.
You should play it. Do not look up a single fucking thing about it.
Okay, how
you
do I play it?
It's on PC. It's free.
All right, so...
So you download it.
I guess I should plug my computer in.
You should
headphones.
Play it.
At home.
Yeah.
Okay. That's cryptic, and I'm here for it.
I think you will enjoy it.
Okay.
Yeah, not I'm to kind of derail the podcast, but it does some cool things that only video games can do.
I am
which
really...
Which I know you are all about that
yeah,
bullshit.
Yeah, I'm really into that
I am
stuff.
All about that bullshit. And second thing, yeah, you should totally make things and like get them out to people. I know we just said that earlier, but I mean, like, that's why I'm doing a lot of this shit, you know?
Pick any of these avenues that we have talked about.
Totally.
Yeah, and there are a lot of things we're leaving out. Like, there's just so much
we could
custom
literally
stuff.
Make an entire podcast about this.
Yeah.
Like, there's
really
just
could.
That much.
I think we should.
I do not have this kind of time, Jimmy.
Oh.
If someone in Kansas City wants to make an offshoot podcast of this, all if you get the ball rolling,
it's
I'm
called Chalonk mode.
Yeah, Chalonk mode. I hope we can have instead of commercial breaks, we'll have Chalonk mode breaks. So just
ooh.
Like Celeste, where there's the derezzed Celeste.
It's just
in
you
the
doing
game.
That voice from earlier.
Yes,
but the entire time.
I mean, well, it's gonna have to be all three of us if we're gonna make Chalonk podcast.
Okay, all right.
All right. Yeah,
we are so fucking stupid.
It's a team effort.
This is the. I always kind of describe this people as like the dumbest kind of smart show that we've done.
That's generous.
That's very generous. It's fucking stupid.
I mean, I'll take that W.
Oh, thank
there you.
You
go.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
That.
I think it's a good one.
All
right, now we're done just talking about how great we are. Let's talk about more of what you're
hey,
wanting to
let's,
talk about.
I'm gonna try to rapid fire this because each
do
of
it.
These we could talk about for a long time, and maybe we talk about it again later. But
yeah.
We talked about Warcraft 3 and its mods. So that those mods led to Dota, which Dota 2 is, I think, still top dog for the biggest esport in the world. It's probably
I wouldn't
know,
be surprised.
Maybe it's behind Counter-Strike, but. It's huge.
The price pool of the international gets
league.
Higher and higher every single
yeah,
year.
Yeah,
like,
that's
it's
why
fucking
I
insane.
Say it's the biggest one. Yeah, it's crazy how huge it is. And same with Worlds. With,
yeah, it's crazy how like involved just that scene is too. Like a buddy of mine writes esports articles, I think, for the Daily Dot, And he's just like, yeah, I wrote 52 Dota 2 articles in June. I'm like, whoa, fuck, wow. Dude, seriously? Like, crazy. Good on you. Like, just get you going on that grind. But, and so, man, it's wild to think that that game is that big.
That whole branch of an industry is based off of a mod that someone made in someone else's game as a custom mode, right?
That Bass Hunter song is not good. I'm going to stand right here and proclaim that to whoever the fuck wants to listen.
Hashtag
if you have heard it by this
brave.
Point, thank you for listening to the show.
Hashtag but brave.
I do not like that song. Continue.
Hot takes from camp. No, so, okay, so Dota 2 exists, right? I don't still, know. I'm not as familiar with, like, the modding scene with that. I didn't realize until, like, a week or two ago that you could mod anything in Dota. And maybe it's not, like, a legal mod. I honestly don't know. But somebody, I looked their name up, but I couldn't find much information about them. They made a game basically called, I think it's actually called Auto Chess.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Auto Chess is a game that exists. I picked it up on my phone. You can play it on phone or PC, and there's crossplay, I believe. And the one I picked is like, the game has a solid foundation. It's just very, very poorly translated, and it's really funny. But this game was just a mod in Dota, and it became so successful. So apparently it came out in January, and since then has gained 8 million players. This is a mod,
like,
again,
like,
right?
Dota 2 has obviously been big, just core on its own for a while, but that game made it kind of blow the fuck up again.
It's
like
crazy.
A lot of people who were just like kind of swearing off Dota completely were just really hopping back in to just play Auto Chess.
Yeah, and so the game I'm playing is good. You know, it's my, well, I, whatever, I don't need to get into the details of the actual game, but it's a solid game, and you could tell how it was a custom mod. Like, knowing that it was a mod for Dota totally makes sense, because I could have seen it as a mod for Warcraft 3, right? And that game was so successful, so Auto Chess was so successful, that Valve has now made their own official version. Of course, Valve made Dota. Valve has made their own official game.
They made Dota 2.
They made Dota 2.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah, and then it's kind of weird that, like, sort of the same thing is happening with Auto Chess.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, we want to make our own Auto Chess. And I'm like, well, we made Auto Chess. And they're like, oh, okay,
maybe.
Well, we're going to make Auto Chess.
Right.
Oh, okay.
So there's this called... It's
like Underlords or
yeah,
something?
Underlords.
Dota Underlords.
Dota Underlords.
Yeah.
So basically the same exact game. There are differences, but they're basically the same game. And both of them have a huge number of players. So that's crazy. So to think, you know, I thought that idea was dead. The idea of, like, here's this game, someone modded it, and now it's a new game and it's huge. I haven't heard of that since Dota, like, to this scale. And that happened ages ago. I mean, did that happen 10, 15 years ago? 10 years ago?
Probably early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Yeah. So yeah, 90, closer at least to 15.
I have absolutely no idea.
It happened a long time ago. So to hear that this year, in the year of our Lord, 2019, that exact thing is happening again with Auto Chess is fascinating to me. It spawned its own genre called the Auto Battler genre. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah, I read that today. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. This has a name now. Awesome.
Right.
All right, cool. I'm here for it.
So that's exciting to me that stuff is still, you know, that the kids are still doing it right, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. And you even see some stuff like that where I think at this point, Battle Royale is totally its own genre. Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
not just a multiplayer mode. Like, it's something that you build a lot of systems around. And that was also just kind of an offshoot, or like it was like this side thing in a couple of games that came out before like PUBG really picked it up and just made it blow the fuck up.
Right.
Yeah. Is that not so? This technically could be how the whole area of genres of video games could have been created.
Totally.
My first just now is thinking about Dungeons and Dragons. Like, Dungeons and Dragons probably had a mod to turn it into space rather than fantasy. Mm-hmm. And then both of those could have branched off to have mods of each of them to have, hey, with this space one, we're going to do Star Trek. This one's going to have Star Wars. Mm-hmm. And then from there, it just branches off and continues on and on and on.
Shortly after I first played D&D, I watched my brother play KOTOR 2,
yeah.
I think. And I was seeing, like, the game actually uses the terms dice roll and D20.
Oh, yeah.
And D8 and all stuff. And I'm just like, oh, so this is just exactly D&D. Like, this is a reskin. You know, this is a visual version of Dungeons & Dragons.
Absolutely.
And the fact that it wasn't similar, it was the same system. You know, and D&D's been around for ages, and KOTOR was new to me. You know, that was crazy. And it's like, you know, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree in fantasy, but then also in games systems. You know, people see something that works, and much like a tree, the branches grow out, and then something falls off of that, seed grows, and then you've got a whole nother, you know,
it's
genre.
It's always just kind of, it really, once you get down to it, it's just human nature for you to just find different ways to have fun with, like, the things that you're given, because there's always going to be limitations for things, and maybe, yeah, cool, like, we have these cars, and, like, we have these, like, traditional racing games, but what if you could use those cars to play fucking soccer?
Right.
Like, that's right. Cool as hell, and that sounds like just a blast on paper, and it is, but, like, that kind of stuff where people are just like, cool, we have this, like, established thing, what if we just put this kind of spin on it? That's just kind of how that stuff organically grows.
Like, remember playing the Army Men games on, like, PlayStation 1?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
But, like, our parents probably played when they were kids with actual Army Men in their room.
Right. I remember playing one on the original PlayStation, and my parents were just like, this is fucking wild.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I mean, this game isn't that great, but, you know.
Calm down, Mom.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay. Like, I'm, like, 8 years old, so it's fine, but, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, so that stuff's super cool, and I'm excited to see what else keeps happening with this. You know, last year, question mark, was Battle Royale. You know, this year it's Auto Chess. I mean, it's
League just came out with theirs. Like, League of Legends just put out their Auto Battler, or are putting out one. I know they've, like, said, hey, this is a thing we're doing, you know. And they, like, straight up were just like, we played a lot of Auto Chess, so we just wanted to make one. I'm like, all right, cool. You guys know what you're doing.
Yeah. I think I've said the phrase, that's crazy, like, 30 times on this podcast. Man, I do apologize if anybody's taking drinks for that at home.
Man, if somebody took a shot every time I said like or they would be dead.
If
would they?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that a chalunk?
Not it's a chalunk.
The last two things I would say is in Minecraft, I want to bring this up at the end. I saw a Death Star run. But then when I watched it, I basically realized this is machinima. You know, this is someone made a Death Star run where everything is stationary and just the camera moves. But they also, like, cut in, like, a close up of someone in a cockpit, you know, Han Solo. And then they go back and they were clever about it. But I was looking at it, I was like, this is basically machinima, which made me think of Red versus Blue.
Hell yeah.
Which was the first time I ever saw machinima, where they just took the tool set of Halo and made a TV show. They made a licensed TV show out of it.
It's great.
And
Red versus Blue is great.
It really is good.
I remember watching the first three seasons of that on my buddy's PSP.
What a world we live in.
And now it's on Netflix.
Oh,
so.
My gosh.
So, and I'm going to RTX this weekend. Like, fucking what? You know?
Man.
What is it? Rooster Teeth Expo?
Yeah, yeah. They,
that's
kind of a big deal now, apparently.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they're always the... I only knew Rooster Teeth because of Red versus
same.
Blue.
Actually, same.
And
yeah,
now
same.
their first, you know, Giant Bomb is second to them of the highest fundraising for Extra Life every year.
Yeah, totally.
And the number they hit is staggering.
Yeah, it's
they raise so
wild.
Much money. So it's crazy that, like, same story. That grew out of basically Red versus Blue, which was just like a
fan. Yeah, of them wanting to make fun dick jokes in Halo.
Yeah,
you know?
That's exactly what that was.
Yeah.
You just got, oh,
so
they're a bunch
you
of different
be successful
colored.
Kids. Listen to me. Go on a video game, make some dick jokes with your friends.
You'll be the first
one. You will
one.
Totally probably not get kicked off. Maybe you will probably get
I
kicked off.
I think you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm honestly
totally fine.
At this point, yeah.
So there's that.
Maybe
and,
don't.
Um,
listen to me.
And we could seriously have a whole second episode about a lot of this stuff. But I want to wrap up. I want to answer first, so let me
okay.
do this. But do you have any memories of, like, when you were younger, like, jankily finding a way to, like, make your own fun in a game? Like, the thing I thought, because I've been thinking about this all day, and one of the most basic examples I thought of is when you're in a game and you just use your bullets. You shoot the wall and you try to like spell your name or something like that. But
like the GoldenEye or the paintball mode.
But the game doesn't have enough memory to to give more than like one letter at a time. And you're like, you know what? I just got to make do.
Yeah, you're trying to spell out ass, but you just get as.
Right. It's really disappointing at that
point.
Yeah,
no, it totally is. It's really demoralizing. So for me, I'll try to make this story a little bit quick, but I remember I just sat down one morning, I was younger, playing the original Spyro the Dragon. I was like, I wonder if I start a new game, if I could just beat this game today. And I did, and it was cool. But at the same time, I also, I think, was starting to get the stomach flu. So like, oh, no. I remember like just feeling really rough by the time I beat that final boss and then just like got up from my chair and then just like waddled into the bathroom.
Oh, no.
And then just like fucking, this is going to kind of gross,
no.
But basically just like threw up like a fucking like garden hose with like your finger like pressed against the top of it.
Listeners.
But like everywhere but the toilet, it was just the floor. And then I just walked into the kitchen. I'm like, hey, Mom. And she's like, all right, go lay down.
You beat
drink some water.
Again, didn't
oh no,
you? No, like straight up, that like made me be like, maybe I just wasn't made to like play video games all the time. So do you know what I did? I just kept playing video games all the time.
Yeah. Like I got to get through this,
but I didn't do them all at once.
So what did you do after that? You're like, every time you felt like you were getting sick, your custom game was like, I got to speed run this before I throw
up. Straight up did not touch like the original Spyro the Dragon for maybe a couple of years after that.
So hold on, wait. So have you tried to play that all the way through again?
No.
So if you do, will you throw
up? I have carpet. I have to clean up now. I don't want to deal with that.
But that's a question that we might need answered.
Mm.
All right.
Will you just end up throwing up at the end?
Let's do it. Let's get my Twitch channel up and running. Let's make it happen.
I tell you what, listeners, if you can create Spyro the Dragon in Minecraft, send it to us.
And Cam will play it all the way through.
All the way
the
through.
The entire way through. Just in Minecraft.
Yeah.
I think that mine goes back to, because I had a NES growing up, so I played a lot of the same like 9 games that I had because they were my mom's. She was the one who played video games that got me started because we already had them. And so nice. I had, you know, I had Mario 1, Mario 2, and Legend of Zelda. I just thought of this, but Mario Paint's not the first creation game. There's a game on the NES called Videomation that I had.
That sounds janky as hell.
It has a rad tiger on the front that's jumping out of crazy 90s stuff. Yeah, man. I just remember that.
Straight up sounds like
Videomation.
A make-believe game you would see on a sitcom.
Oh, please look at box art on that game.
I am going
awesome.
To look it up
it
right now.
Rad. I think it's Videomation. But regardless, in those games, I had beaten them so many times, I would try to figure out things to do to beat them
like
quicker,
create your
just
own,
make them
like
more
challenge
fun.
Mode,
so
if you will.
What I did, there you go, when in Mario 1, would try to beat levels without stopping. Like, definitely just running as fast
this
as possible.
Fucking rules.
That is?
Oh my god, okay. Look at that shit.
Oh, that's great.
All right, cool. Well, I just found the image for this episode.
Perfect.
So in like Zelda, I would try to beat the game without having like taking the hearts or anything like that I could in those games.
Oh, and there's like Nuzlocke runs for Pokemon and stuff.
Sort of. God. Like those types of things in those games to beat it. With Mario 2, you could beat the game with one of the four characters because you could play with Mario, Luigi, Peach, or
I like that game.
Toad.
Well, it's my favorite Mario game.
Playing through as Toad throughout that game is hard.
Yeah.
He jumps like shit, but he's super fast. So, yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of little things like that, trying to beat it as fast as possible or
trying not to throw up all over your bathroom floor.
When Halo had like the skulls, that was a little later in my life than I wanted those.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it was too early. I don't know. But the skulls never hit me right. But I like the idea of them where it's just like, hey, this is that game you love. You know, if they had the skulls in Halo 1, I probably would have loved them because I played that game up and down, left and right all day. I played that game as much as you could possibly play it. Maybe that's a challenge to myself.
Yeah.
But if they had been like, oh, it's the same thing except everyone's shields are stronger. Like it's not a harder difficulty, but just their shields are stronger. I think I would have loved that just to be able to mod your own game, so to speak. Yeah, I think it's just a novelty of like, hey, we made this game. We're proud of it. Now break it. you know, now go through and see how you
how
can
much
either
we
break
can
it.
Break you.
Yes, yes. yeah, so I just like, I like developers embracing that. I love the back and forth between the creators, like the mod community and the original creators. You know, a lot of times those people really do become, they get hired on. Mm-hmm. They're like, you did a great job. You made a game that's as good as anything we would have made. Can we pay you to join us? I think they did that for a Sonic game.
Yeah, Sonic Mania was made by somebody who made like a really well-made Sonic fan game.
Which is wonderful.
Which is so cool. Also apparently the best Sonic game of the past like 10 years.
That's very true.
Yep.
So
yeah. So everybody go mod something and get hired.
And the music's good.
It's Sonic Mania. The music is good.
Yeah.
We'll convince you.
I have it. I have got it. I got it on PlayStation Plus. I just haven't fired it up.
But I thought you were going to say like, oh, I've got the soundtrack on vinyl.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Like,
they do have the soundtrack on vinyl. That one is actually printed on vinyl.
I believe that.
Yeah, people really like that a lot. So I'm not trying to say you cannot. I'm just saying I don't. Well, so. Cool.
All right. Well, I think we've accepted this challenge. I think we've completed this challenge.
Way to stick to the brand.
Hey.
I'm into that. Yeah.
I want to challenge some people's Mario Maker levels. Can that be a thing? Can you
sure.
just give those to us?
Yeah, I very much
sure,
want that.
Sure, yeah. Tweet them at Gamer Heroes Pod. That is the parent show. It's our Twitter.
You can put them in the GGKC.
Yeah, we have a Facebook group, LFGKC.
Yeah, baby.
If you want to go there, do that. That'd be great. Either one works. I'll make sure we get him over to Jimmy so we can talk about how frustrated he is next time we record.
Get him rustled.
Yeah.
I mean, I might buy the game just to do that.
Yeah, no, it's a good time. I straight up got it because other people made cool levels and I just wanted to play them.
Yeah.
So.
Well, cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Tell us all about your own custom creations online and all of those places. And we'll see you next time.
See you later.
Bye-bye.